you would, please open up your Bibles to the book of John. Our scripture reading will be taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse 5 and read down through verse 42. John chapter 4, starting in verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Then where do you get the living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well, the well, and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have is one whom you have now, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and is now, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Verse 27. At this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or, "Why do you speak with her?" The woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all the things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world."
Thank you, Kent, for that lengthy reading of our text this morning from the Gospel of John chapter 4, a story somewhat familiar with many of you, I know. Thank you so much for being in our worship assembly today. We appreciate seeing you and realizing your interest in spiritual things. We're delighted to have a large number of visitors with us today. Thank you so much for choosing to be here. We know that you could have chosen to be in other places. We appreciate that. It encourages us and strengthens us. Our greatest prospects for conversion to Jesus Christ are guests in our assembly. And sometimes we're tempted to just kind of sit back and let others come into our assembly and just show up and expect that maybe they'll be interested in spiritual things. But it doesn't always work that way. I think there are a lot of non-Christians that don't really realize their spiritual needs. And unless we say something to them that sparks an interest in spiritual things, they may not give thought to the precious spiritual blessings that are available in Christ that we read about in the Word of God. Many people don't know where to look. There seem to be, in our society today, churches on every corner. And people just become overwhelmed by this and sometimes a little bit frustrated in their minds about all the different selections that are out there and available. But what we're interested in, of course, is for people to investigate and to learn about the Old Hickory Church of Christ and what we stand for and what we believe. If you have a Bible in your hand, if you open your Bible today, that speaks very strongly about what the church here is really all about. We're about looking into the Word of God. We're about appreciating and honoring the Word of God because we know it is unchangeable, it is eternal, and it is the Word which brings blessings to men. For help with seeking to fulfill the spiritual needs of our community, I think one of the most effective personal evangelists that we know anything about is someone that we learned about in this story that we looked at from John 4. It's the Samaritan woman. Many people in this woman's hometown became believers because of this woman's work in John 4. Because of an invitation that she extended to people. In verse 29 of John 4, many of the Samaritans in Sychar came to be believers in Jesus Christ. If she could be effective at this, I think we can too. So maybe from looking at this woman today, let's think about some lessons that would be helpful for us in trying to fulfill the spiritual needs of other people. I think one big lesson that stands out in the story of this woman is to not be hindered by your past. When you consider this woman and how she lived and the things that were characteristic of her life, you don't see a pristine, righteous soul who has very little, very insignificantly been touched by sin in her life. You don't see that at all. You see this woman who had been hindered by her life. She had been married 5 times, and evidently 5 men had put her away, and now she was living with someone who was not her husband in verses 17 and 18. But she wasn't hindered by that. she still found God's Messiah. Just a haphazard meeting, maybe. A providential meeting, maybe. But it happened that way that she found the Messiah. And because of what she found and who she found, she wanted to change her life. And she wanted others to know about the one that she found. Some people never do any inviting, any recommending, because they know that other people have seen the actions that they have done and heard things out of their mouths that were not righteous. Why should anyone listen to them about spiritual things? But who really better is there to recommend Jesus Christ for someone than a person whose life has been changed by His message? There is no better recommender, I think. Granted, if you are continuing in sin, we don't want you out here inviting folks to investigate the Old Hickory Church of Christ. We want you first to set your priority in order in your life, to repent of sins in your life, and to seek God's forgiveness and be right with God, and then start inviting people. But I think this woman is a great example. Secondly, do not be caught up in the concerns of this life, in so many earthly concerns that you can't see the spiritual needs of other people. After just a few minutes with Jesus, this Samaritan woman went back to the city and told the men of the city about this man at the well that she met there. And as a result of that, many in the city were converted. Look at verse 39 of John 4. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all the things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of His word. Well, now, what were the apostles doing all this time? You know, they were the ones who spent so much time with Jesus, who heard Him teach on so many occasions, who were eyewitnesses of His miracles, which confirmed the word that He spoke. What were they doing all this time? Well, they went into the city to buy food, didn't they? But when they went into the city to buy food, John doesn't tell us about any spiritual successes they had there, any conversions of any people they made. They seem to have gone into the city with one thing on their mind, and that was to buy food and then return back to where they were. They were so wrapped up in this daily concern that they didn't really see, evidently, the spiritual opportunities that were available to them in this city of Sychar, the city of Samaria. Additionally, they probably saw the people of Samaria as half-breeds, as people who had the wrong religion and didn't really deserve the blessings of Jesus as the Messiah anyway. How easy it is for us to get caught up in the daily things of our lives, the pursuit of going to town to buy food, and so much so sometimes that we lose sight of the spiritual needs of other people around us. The checkout clerk at the grocery store may be a person who's looking for the truth. Now, she or he may not come out and say, when you're checking out and buying your groceries, that I'm looking for the truth of God. You know, a person just doesn't come out and say something like that. But many people are. And what it takes is for us to speak to them. We have co-workers that are lost in sin because they do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They do not believe that He is the way and the truth and the life, the living way. They do not believe that He's the only way to God. Without that belief, they will not enjoy heaven after this life is over. They will not be blessed by God. The Scripture is clear. Jesus Christ is God's Son, and He is the way to the Father. And He is the only way to the blessings of God. Many of your schoolmates are walking in darkness. They need help. They need to find that light. They need to find the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, that they might be saved by it. Many of our family members need that same message. How will they get it? It won't mysteriously or miraculously fall from heaven and hit them on the head and wake them up. It has to come through our voices. Our voices and the gospel of Jesus Christ in our voices to them. If we all spend our time going to the city to buy food, we'll never really have the success that the Samaritan woman had. We need to see the needs of other people and act on those needs. Thirdly, make the invitation to them simple. Make it simple, not overwhelming. The Samaritan woman came into town, and she didn't go to those men and say, "Now, here's a list of the things that you have to do to be right with God." You know, she didn't drop that bomb on them right there. She said something very simple. She didn't make it a life or death issue with them. She just said, "Come and see a man." And there was something unique and special about this man. And she said what that was. But it was a very simple invitation. "Come and see a man. Come and see a man who told me everything that I've ever done." In John 4 and verse 29, we can follow that same example. Our invitations and recommendations for the Old Hickory Church do not need to be surrounded by pomp and circumstance. We don't need to shore that up with things like, "I want to talk to you today about the most important decision of your life." Not that it's not an important decision of life, but face it now. Do you really want to make the most important decision of your life today? Do you really want to do that today? Now, some people may need to, but generally speaking, if you approach people like that, it's not going to be a good thing. People aren't generally in the frame of mind when you walk up to them with an invitation to make the most important decision of their lives. Seed has to be sown. It has to, in good and honest soil, it has to come forth into a plant, and that plant has to bear fruit, doesn't it? Instead, your simple recommendation might be, "Come and see a church. Come and see a church that's been helpful to me. Come and see a church where the Word of God is presented, where it's talked about, where it's discussed, where people are interested in the Word of God and how to apply it to their lives. Come and see that." You know, with that simple little invitation like that, according to the Gallup polls, 1 in 4 people who do not attend church anywhere claim that if someone invited them, they would go. I think that's a pretty significant number, don't you? So we just need to maybe give people a simple invitation. Very simple. Recommend a specific reason, maybe, like this Samaritan woman did. When she went to the men of her city, she said, "Come and see a man," something very specific, and she's provided this specific reason. "The reason why I want you to see this man is because he told me everything I've ever done." How did he know that? How did he know about my life? And so it was a specific reason for them. It was something specific for the men of the city to take note of and say, "I need to check that out. I need to see who this man is." When we offer invitations and recommendations, we need to make them specific like that, I think, and special. Instead of, "Hey, would you like to come to church with me sometime?" Maybe something a little more specific or something a little more special. I see that you have some wonderful children. My children have benefited tremendously by the Bible classes at the Old Hickory Church. Why don't you bring your children and come and see what we do there? And see if it will help your children. Something specific like that. Recommending a specific reason. You know, I've had some trouble in my marriage, but attending the Old Hickory Church and seeing what the Word of God says Because we talk about it in the Bible classes and we hear it preached, we hear the Word of God preached, and we open our Bibles and we can see for ourselves what the Word of God says. And you know, my marriage has really been blessed and it's really been helped by doing that very thing. Could your marriage be helped by that as well? Something specific like that. Clearly, some recommendations are specific, like we're approaching the time of year where we have a vacation Bible school. That's very specific. How has that helped you in the past? Can it help someone else? Can it help their children? That would be a specific invitation that you could make to them. Once they come to check it out, though, really let the church speak for itself. I think that's important. The Samaritan woman was really taking somewhat of a chance here. And she realized that this man was more than just a man. But would the men of the city realize that just on her recommendation? Just when she went back to them and said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did? Would these men realize something significant about him? Or would they just get mad if he told them the same thing that he told her? You don't know what you worship. In John 4 and verse 22. She did not try to mold Jesus into her perfect idea of a pleasing Savior and then present Him that way. She told these guys, come and check Him out. Check Him out for yourself. Investigate for yourself. The door's wide open for you to do that. And that's the kind of atmosphere that I think we have here. Investigate this church. See if this church does the things that are revealed in the Word of God. If you look in the Word of God and you notice what goes on here, you'll see things that are alike. You'll see a match between what the Word of God teaches and what is done here. And when we start inviting people and just letting them come and see, based on maybe what little or what lot of Bible knowledge they already have, they will see what they need to see. Let the church speak for itself. We don't want to get into a situation where we're saying, well, now don't come on this day because the sermon's going to be about this subject. Just do the inviting and let people come and let God's purposes work. And His providential hand work in the lives of people. They'll come. They'll come when they have an opportunity to come and let them check us out. And what they will use to check us out is the heart they carry around with them every day in their lives. Every day. But the thing about it is, if their heart is honest and good, the Word of God will get there. And it will produce fruit. That's what the parable of the sower is all about. Or the parable of the soils, whichever you prefer to call it. In verse 40 of John 4, when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking Him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Many more believed because of His word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. You know, and that same kind of thing will happen in this room when people of our community come in here and see what we're about with an open Bible. Truth does not fear investigation. When they come in here and they see what we're about and their Bibles are open and their heart is open to what God has said in His Word, they'll see it. They will see it and they will know that it's genuine. They will see for themselves. They will hear for themselves. And they will glorify God in heaven as a result. Be prepared, though, because everyone you invite, every person that you bring to this assembly will not walk away as a believer. And they will not come to believe in Jesus Christ. The Samaritan woman had great amount of success. The text says that many believed as a result of her invitation. But it does not say that all believed, does it? When we invite, when we recommend the Old Hickory Church to other people, not everyone will come. Not everyone will come. We know that. Not everyone who comes will pursue a Bible study with us. Not everyone who studies with us will be converted. But some will. Some will become Christians because the Word of God still works in the hearts and the lives of people. It will happen. Perhaps many will. But no one will unless we get out there and we let people know what's going on inside the walls of this building. That's very important. People will believe when they hear the words of Christ. They will. And those are the kind of people that God will take and use in His service and bless in His kingdom and bless by being a part of us. That's what we need, isn't it? It's important for us to recognize the urgency of getting that message out, I think. In John 4 and verse 28, the woman saw the need to let other people know about this man as so very urgent that the little detail that John revealed to us was that she left her water pot at the well to go and tell these men. Now that may seem to be something insignificant to you and I, because it's so easy for us to go to the water tap, put the glass under there, turn it, and get a drink, or the water fountain out in the foyer. And we don't think about things like that. But this woman had to travel to the well to get her drinking water, which sustained her life. Now that was important to her, and it was important to lives of people to get their water. And this was the means they had to get it. But she left her water pot at the well to go and tell the men of the city who was there. I think that's a pretty significant thing that we may overlook sometimes. I'm certain it's more difficult for us to feel the urgency. After all, if someone does not attend today, well, you know, there's always next Sunday, right? And we begin to think that way. But, you know, the gospel message is a bit more urgent than that. And when the writers of the gospel revealed to us something about salvation, they indicated that urgency in statements like, today is the day of salvation. You know, today is the day that you have. You're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. And the people that we meet and talk to are not promised tomorrow either. The Lord may come as a thief in the night when He is least expected in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But even if we do not think about that, we need to consider the work that we are doing. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, Paul told the Ephesians. Very important for us to think in those terms, because our work is important. The souls of this community are very, very important. There are lost people around us. What are we doing about it? Is a question that I really need to ask myself. We need to remember that we're not trying to just bolster up the numbers of people in attendance in our worship assemblies. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to save souls. We're trying to help people with their lives, the most important thing of their lives, and helping them get on that right track, that right pathway that leads to God and His blessings through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're not trying to fill this building. We're trying to fill heaven. That's what's important. This work is important, and we don't really need to wait around until next week to do something about it. We need to do something now. It's so very important and so urgent to get that message out. We have access to over 95,000 people in Madison County. That's the last census, pretty close estimate of the population of this county. 65,000 people reside in the city of Jackson. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Very few of those people enjoy a right relationship with God. Very, very few. That's tragic. But every single one of them needs to have a relationship with God. They need to believe in Jesus Christ. And we need to let them know about Jesus Christ and how He is honored and served here at the Old Hickory Church of Christ. We've learned that it takes about 100 invitations to eventually lead to one people, one of those people becoming a Christian, one of those persons being converted. And that means that we, all of us, really need to be busy in recommending the Old Hickory Church and in teaching the gospel to people as we have opportunity. And if we could have over 100 invitations this week, if each of us will commit maybe to inviting two people, we'll have well over 100. And we might, as a result of that, get to see someone leave living for the world and start living for Jesus Christ. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Something that would cause rejoicing in the angels of heaven would certainly be wonderful in the hearts of believers, wouldn't it? Certainly, absolutely. So who will you invite? If the Samaritan woman would do it, we can too. In John 4, beginning verse 34, it's interesting that the story unfolded the way it did. And there was a message there even for the closest disciples of Jesus. In John 4, beginning verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." What did that have to do with what the disciples were thinking about? Here, we bought the groceries, we brought them, it's time to eat, let's eat. And the Lord is thinking about something so far superior. He had to be hungry. You know, they all had to be hungry. But what was on the Lord's mind was the work of His Father. "I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have food that you don't..." Well, where did you... Did somebody bring you some groceries? You see, they're still thinking about that. "It's time to eat" thing. "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Now, the population of this county is over 95,000 people. This building wouldn't hold them all. But you know, all of them will not come and all of them will not believe, but someone will. There's somebody out there looking for truth. You know, we just have to pray to God that we find them. And when we find them, we have to say something to them that'll help them to find the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can do that. The Samaritan woman did it. She's a prime example of here is a person, any ordinary person, and this person can do it. And we can too. Think about that. May God bless you for being here today. If you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, we will ask of you no other thing than what the Word of God asks of you. It asks you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And in believing that, if you will confess Him before men, He will confess you before His Father in heaven. If you will repent of sins, you will not perish as those who will not repent. Luke 13 and verse 3. If you will be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. If you will do that, your sins will be washed away. And you will be raised up out of the grave of baptism. We have a baptistry right here, ready and available. You will be raised up out of that water to walk in newness of life, which is depicted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ when He was raised from the dead to die no more. In that resurrected life, you live as a Christian, faithful to God. Be faithful to Him, and He will save you in His eternal kingdom after a while. Can we help you with that today? We would love to. If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.